Let's come together in prayer. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you this evening, Lord, that we can meet together here, Lord, to read your word and to pray to you and to come to you in prayer now. Lord, we thank you that as we do this, Lord, that we have the privilege of approaching the very throne room of heaven itself. And all this staggers us to think that we can come before the very throne of heaven itself, come before you in prayer. But we thank you that we can do this. And Lord, as we do this now, Lord, we, as it were, Lord, take off the shoes from our feet because we know the ground we're on is holy ground. Lord, we do thank you that we can come to you in prayer because before time was, you set your love on us. Lord, we know that there's nothing in us that would ever deserve your love to be set on us. But we thank you that you chose us. And you set your love on us, and we thank you for that. Lord, we know that Lord, we do not love you as we should. We do not live for you as we should. And we pray you'll forgive us for that, Lord. Help us to love you more and to serve you better. Lord, we do miss those who aren't here this evening. Lord, we know that there are many that are busy, tied up with different responsibilities and cares. Lord, we know that. Lord, we think of Luke now, Lord, as we hear he's fallen down the stairs and he's been taken to hospital, Lord, and we thank you that it appears everything's okay. And we just pray, Lord, that you'll give Pete and Vanessa just peace now, Lord, in just casting this care on you. But we thank you that as we've just sung, that we can take everything to you in prayer. And later, Lord, as we come to prayer, Lord, we pray that you'll warm our hearts and to help us to pray in accordance with your will. And Lord, we do now, Lord, pray for Pete and Mona, Lord, and their daughter, Lord, as they travel to the Philippines tomorrow. Lord, we'll miss them not being here for a month. And we pray that they will be a blessing and an encouragement to the families they go to visit them. Lord, we do thank you for Pete and Mona for the work they do here. We thank you for the way that Mona's now helping out with the that club there. We know how much the children enjoy her being there and doing that with them, Lord. And we pray that you'll bless them as they travel to the Philippines. Keep them, we pray that they'll be kept in safety, Lord, and they'll be returned back here safely again. Lord, we just pray for Inika now, Lord, as she's returning this evening. We pray that you'll give Elaine a journey of mercy as she picks her up. And Lord, we pray that that will be a safe flight back. And Lord, we do, just bring one another to you now, Lord. We thank you for one another, for the privilege of being part of this church here in this little corner of England, Lord. And Lord, we just pray now as we look at your word, that you will, as we try and get a feel for what we're looking at in the passage, we pray that anything that's said that is not what was meant, or if the emphasis is wrong, Lord, we pray that you help us just to not focus on that, but we pray that as we read your word, that you will apply it to our hearts, we pray, in the way that is according to your will. We pray these things now, Lord, in your holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Turn to Philippians. So last week, Matt looked at the opening of Philippians in chapter 1, and we're going to be looking today, this evening, at verses 3 to 8. It was quite handy having it on the bulletin on Sunday, so I knew what I was meant to be doing. So that was quite good. Right, we're going to start off, though, by just reading chapter 4, because it is applicable. It's quite interesting. Chapter 1, almost a précis, an introduction to the main themes that actually run throughout Philippians, as you might imagine, really. Okay, the prayer actually touches on all the main areas that then come up as the main themes throughout Philippians. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodia, and I implore Syntyche, to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women, who laboured with me in the gospel, with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men, the Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. for our needy brethren, whichever things are true, whichever things are noble, whichever things are just, whichever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to needs, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I want us to think about these words here. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus a thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now let's turn to chapter 1 and we're just going to read those verses that I'm going to just we'll look at briefly this evening. So we're going to look at verses 3 to 8. Firstly, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ, just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defence and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. Okay, they're the words we've been thinking about this evening. And I've got a few thoughts. I've got 5 points we're going to look at. And when I read that through to myself, I try to think, what is the main theme coming through here? Because if I wanted to choose a verse to speak on, there are so many wonderful verses there. I mean, if you just look at verse 6, you know, you could do a study on just verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Fortunately, if we're going to go through Philippians, we do it verse by verse, and we do it in that depth, we're not going to get through it very quickly. So we're looking at verses 3 to 8. And as I read it through, I was trying to think, what is the main theme coming through here? If I just read it again, just think to yourself, if I was reading this and I was going to speak on this, what would be the main theme here? I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work and you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defence and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all, with the affection of Jesus Christ. So as I was reading it through, I was thinking to myself, what is the main theme that's coming through here? What's the challenge for us? So I thought to myself, what's this really about? Is it really about maybe giving thanks to each other? Maybe our question that we're posing tonight should be, do we give thanks for each other enough? And I thought to myself, no, it's not just that. Do we appreciate each other? Well, certainly appreciation and thanks are in these verses. You can see it on both sides. They appreciate him, he appreciates them. But it runs deeper than that. What is the underlying message that comes across here between these two parties? You've got the Philippians and you've got Paul. It's love. Do we love each other here? So really that's a question I'm just going to pose to you. Do we love each other here? Yeah, us here. Now, we've just got two sentences there. It's quite amazing. We've read those verses, which makes me feel quite good, because it means I don't have to be too long. It's just two sentences. And it is. It's incredible. It goes from verse 3 through to the end of verse 7. That's one thought, really, which then gets built on and built on. And these two verses are just full of love. There is love here flowing through these verses. Passion for each other. And I think we'd be quite happy if we were emulating, if we were actually being mentioned in these verses. You know, if we were part of this, this is something we'd like to emulate. And there's no rebuke here or criticism. This is about love and affection and people longing for one another. And Paul clearly states his affection in these verses, who's obviously a lover of Christ, and that comes across. It flows out into love for God's people. Listen to this, verse 8. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. You know, he doesn't just want to see them, he has affection for them. And it's not just for them, it's for them all. It says there, for God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all of you, with the affection of Jesus Christ. And also, even that last verse, that verse 8 there, for God is my witness. This is a mild oath. He's saying, God is my witness, how much I long for you all of you. Okay? Because he loves Christ, his love naturally overflows towards God's people. Okay, and this comes across in these verses. So I think it is a good question for us to ask, do we love one another here? I guess at this point you're thinking one of the following, possibly. Yes, I do. Of course I do. Okay, I come here, of course I love everybody. Or you might think to yourself, I don't think anybody loves me the way Paul loves those people. Or maybe we're okay here. It's not as bad as it used to be. So it's quite good. Yeah, I'm pretty certain most people love each other here. It's not like it used to be. I remember times when. No. That's okay now. Or you might be thinking, this is a good message for him or her. No, it's for us. Do we love each other here? Hopefully you're not. You're thinking this. Yes, I should be loving one another here. With the affection of Jesus Christ. And I would love to love one another more. So our question, do we love each other here? Now, that could be a rhetorical question. You're not expected to answer. Or, can we answer it? Could you actually measure it? Do we love each other here? So I'm actually putting it out there. Could we actually measure it? Do we love each other here? Is it quantifiable? Okay, so I'm not just putting it out there. I'm actually saying, could we actually measure it? Do we love each other here? Could you actually measure that? Now I say to my class at school, are you working hard and learning? And I'll say, yes. Yes, Mr. Orchard, we're learning. Yes, Mr. Orchard, we're getting on with our work. And you look up and there's three of them sharpening pencils. There's a group over here talking about the latest 18-rated game that they've managed to buy somehow. Their parents let them play. There's another group over there and there's a boy over there, Jack, and he's actually making eye contact to a girl over there just to make her laugh. And you're trying to teach and you can see at the corner of your eye what he's doing. So he knows what I'm talking about. So you say to them, if you are learning, I will be able to tell by what I hear and by what I see. I'll be able to tell. And then you say to them, okay, so what will it look like and what will I hear? And they'll go, oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll be having our heads down and we're getting our work, we're talking quietly. Yes, that's what good learning looks like. Okay? So you can say you're doing it. What will I see? What will I hear? I actually said to Liz, do you think you can measure love? She said, oh, I don't think so. I said, Liz, can you measure love really, though? Yes, you can. She definitely say you can, because of what I say and what I do. She'll soon tell me, if she doesn't think I do, okay? You can tell by what you say and what you do. If you're not spending time with them, they'll soon say, and they'll soon get a measure of it, don't you? You can tell by your relationship. If you're talking enough, if you're not, okay, you get a feel for it. So based on this passage, you want us to consider that we can almost quantify love for one another by what we see and hear. And as we do that, I'd like you to just think to yourself, is this evident in my life? First of all, 5 points. We're going through them quite quickly. So what do we see in these verses that shows that love between the Philippians and Paul? One, we have a grateful spirit for one another. We have a grateful spirit for one another. Verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you all, of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. I thank my God upon every remembrance for you. Paul loves the Philippians. So what would you have seen him doing? What would you have heard him doing? He would have been praying for them, saying, giving thanks to God for the Philippians. Okay, when he prays for them, he thanks God for them. Of course, they have faults and failings, but, okay, even though he did, didn't stop him giving thanks for them. He doesn't fail to thank God for them. He values them and returns thanks to God for them. I wonder if we're actually, and myself included, you know, sometimes guilty of talking about other people in a negative way. I know I probably am. Are we good at actually focusing on other people's faults rather than actually saying, oh, that's great, and thanking God for somebody, rather than actually just picking up on someone's faults? Well, Philippians, they had faults. But he doesn't say that here. Like in his instruction, he's saying to them, I thank God for you. Imagine how encouraging that was for them, so that he valued them like that. Okay, so first brief point was, we have a grateful spirit for one another. So what do we hear? We hear people praying for one another, actually giving thanks to God for each other. Two, we pray for each other with a level of understanding. So what does he say? I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer, making requests for you all with joy. Okay, so he prays with a level of understanding, i.e. he makes requests for them, they're specific for them. I read that verse again. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always, in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all. Okay, it's quite impressive to be able to say that, really, I think. Always, in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all. So always, he regularly prays. Okay, this isn't just a, you know what, I might just pray for them now. No, he always prays. It's a habit he's got. He doesn't just pray when he feels like it. He has a regular habit of prayer. So always, in every prayer, he's got his church on his list of things he prays for. It's not, oh, I might just pray for them when I pray today. No, when he prays, he always prays for them. And he prays for them all. Yeah, I like her, I like her. No, dear me, when I was there, I'm not praying for him. No, he prayed for them all. Didn't leave them out. He prayed for everybody. Okay? And he made requests. He knew what to pray for them. So, application. It's not difficult to draw application from that, is it? Are we genuinely concerned about others in the fellowship? Are we genuinely concerned? Do we know what their needs are? Or do we just have our own agendas? We have an idea of what I'd like to think. No? We should be genuinely concerned about knowing what their needs are and praying for them. And praying for them regularly. So, one was, we are thankful for each other. Two, we pray for each other with a level of understanding. We need to talk to people. What are their needs? And we pray for them regularly. This is as much to me as to you, okay? I didn't choose this passage, it's one that I'm preaching on. And this comes to me as it does to you. Third one. Don't think this is necessarily an outside, but I think it is important. We share with people that we pray for them. So, number one was, we're thankful for people. Two, we remember people in prayer. And we know what their needs are. And thirdly, we share with people that we do pray for them. Imagine you were that church there, and you've been suffering persecution. That this letter comes. And it's what the Apostle Paul writes to your church, and you're there when it's being read. And he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always, in every prayer of mine, make a request for you all with joy. I'll tell you what I'll be feeling. I'll be like, yeah, that's just great news. You'd be pleased to have that letter. Imagine how you'd feel if you're suffering a bit of persecution. Then you get a letter saying the Apostle Paul prays for you every time he prays, and he prays for you. You'd be really, you know, imagine how encouraging that would be for you. You can't put a value on that. You can't. I remember when Jimmy White's wife, she was a lovely lady, wasn't she? But I remember when, I think you told me that she'd said that she prayed for Bethany from the day she was born. When she was born. So when she says, I pray for Bethany every day, pretty certain she prayed for Bethany every day. And you can't, can you? You cannot put, well, it's lovely to know that it's fantastic they pray, but they actually, you know, they pray for you every day. That is extremely encouraging. Now, there is a risk, I suppose, of empty words. Yes, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. There is that risk. Of course there is. But would it be great if, in actual fact, our prayer life was such, and we pray for people regularly, that when they came to you and said, something dreadful is going on this week at work, and you said to them, look, I pray for you every day anyway, but I'll particularly remember you about that. I mean, it'd be great if you could be in that situation where you actually say, I do pray for you every day anyway, but I will remember you. But Yes, telling people you pray for them. Okay, 6:30 on a Friday night. Okay, I know people do this. Okay, 7 o'clock tonight, 7:30 tonight, 8 o'clock tonight. I'll be praying for you and do the epilogue. You're pretty certain if that person says to you 7:30, I'll be praying for you 8 o'clock. If they just text you 7:30, they're not going to forget. And if you're giving the epilogue, it fills you quite a lot of confidence, knowing, right, this is good. I want to go in there with an extra level of confidence that the Lord will be with me. I'm confident that the children will sit there quietly and listen. It's a great encouragement. I was texting Dave earlier, just because I know when he was looking for a job, he had quite a few messages with other people, but only because I was on holiday with Dad, I knew that Dad was texting him quite a lot. So I said to him, are you out tonight? He said he wasn't going to be here, so we had a little text message. And I'll just tell you what he put. Sorry, very noisy where I am. He's on the train. Found it very encouraging and a comfort that your dads and others were praying for me and telling me so, either by messaging or emailing me when I was looking for a job, and since. But he also asked specifically when... But he was also specific when he asked questions, which was great. I was listening to Stuart Ollie the other morning on how to enjoy church, and one of his points was to encourage each other, which kind of encouraged me then. Yeah, that's good. So tell people if you're praying for them. Okay? It does show love, but it shows a level of empathy. You actually know what it feels like to be the other person and actually have someone tell you that. So I think it is a sign of love if you say to somebody, tonight when you're doing that, I will remember you in prayer. I will be praying for you. So we should share with people that we're praying for them. And that's what the Apostle Paul is doing here. He just says to them, I thank God for you. And always, in every prayer of mine, I do make requests for you with joy. I'm just telling them, I pray for you. Why? He's encouraging them. What are my 3 points so far? Grateful spirit for one another.
Pray for each other.
Pray for each other with a level of understanding. And we share with people that we pray for them. Thank you. Fourthly, we get stuck into the work. Okay, we get stuck into the work. This is a relationship here going on. Paul and the Philippians. Okay? I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always, in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Why do you give thanks for them? Because of what they did with him. For their fellowship in the gospel. Fellowship talks about, and here it talks about sharing, partnership and participation together. That's what he's talking about here. So when he says we got fellowship in the gospel, he's saying for the way that we share together, for the way that we partner together, for the way that we participated together, okay, in making the gospel known. Okay, as we made the gospel known, we did it together. So you can imagine that when he was there in Philippi, they would have been there working alongside him as he was preaching. Okay? And they kept it up. He says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. So he's saying to them, I'm so thankful for you in the way that you partner with me in sharing the gospel, in sharing Christ with people. You particularly see it in verse 7. Verse 7, just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defence and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. So he's talking about the fact here that they actually work together here, okay, in this partnership, sharing Christ, making the gospel known. Why? They had a passion for Christ, to make him known, and so they joined together with Paul in preaching the gospel. And so how did they show their love to him? Well, in working alongside him, actively, in making the gospel known in Philippi. And you just say, oh, okay, Paul, off you go. No, they were actively there with him, alongside him. So they almost showed their love to him by just being stuck into the work there, in preaching. So our application for that point. Do we show our love for one another by the fact that we stand alongside each other in making Christ known? So, if we receive a text on a Friday night saying, please can you help out to FOY? Okay, we're tired out. Yeah, we're exhausted. We can hardly think two thoughts next to each other. But why do we say yes? Well, we say yes. One, we want to make Christ known. Yes, we do. But we want to be alongside others that are also doing that work. We should do, if we're actually showing love for one another. We actually want to do that. We say, yeah, okay, I'll do that. Because I actually love those people that are doing that work, and I'll stand alongside them, and I'll also help make Christ known. Mums and tots is low on numbers. And you know that. Do you say, there we go. or do you say, in actual fact, I love those people that are doing that, I want to make Christ known, I'm willing to stand alongside them and do that work? We do need to be sensible, yes. Some people will do everything, okay, and they've got to, you know, pace themselves, but, you know, where we can, we get alongside people and we actually help spread the word. So, fourth point is, we will do our part in spreading the gospel, we won't take a back seat. No, they didn't. They showed their love for Paul, the fact they got alongside him, and they shared in preaching the gospel, in making Christ known. And says they're in the defence and confirmation of the gospel. And lastly, number five, we offer practical care and concern, i.e. we give. I couldn't really think of a clearer way to put it than that. It says there, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defence and confirmation of the gospel, you are also partakers with me of Christ, of grace. Both in my chains. This is to do with the fact that they gave to him. They were giving people. So yes, they got alongside him and they preached and they took the word out and they helped the gospel spread. But also, they supported him. And we read Philippians 4. And let's just look at that, those just verses. Because in this introduction, it's kind of, this is one of the key themes that kind of runs through Philippians, really. So Philippians 4, verse 10 to 19. We'll just look at that and we'll just read that through. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Okay? This is a giving care. Though surely you did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound, everywhere and in all things. I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Here we are. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. This is very practical showing of their love. It really is. And that's what he's actually giving thanks for at the beginning there. Indeed, I have... Sorry. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus a thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Okay, if there is a need, is there a need you know about? If we can practically help out, then we should do it. What might that be? Well, it might be financial. You know someone's got a need? Okay, pray about it, yes, but if you can do something about it, we should do something about it. Time. Now, that's a tricky one. It's quite a finite resource. But maybe that's what we should give. This is just from my own experience, just what I was challenged with. I mean, I'm certainly not an expert in this area at all. But I remember when it was Sylvia's birthday, and I know people were praying that she'd have a nice birthday, and I was just struck at that point. I thought, well, I'm praying for her to have a nice birthday, really? Okay, I'm free on Tuesday evening. Why on earth can't I invite her to our house? Okay, it was just, and I'm, you know, it doesn't happen regularly. There's certainly nothing to show off about. But I'm just saying, that's how I was challenged. I think to myself, I can give that time on Tuesday evening. I don't have anything else on. I think Wednesday was probably a fairly light day at school. Okay, but I think practically, this is what they're doing here. They're being very practical in their giving. So our fifth point is this. And you've made it for the fifth point. I'll go through them again for you, okay? We offer practical care and concern, i.e. we give. So our main points are these. We're talking about, you know, can you measure, can you quantify love in a fellowship? And we said, love in church is one, where we have a grateful spirit for one another. Two, we pray for each other with a level of understanding. We share with people that we pray for them, we can tell them that we do. We get stuck into God's work here. And that's a good way of showing that we love one another. We actually support one another in that way. And number five, we offer practical care and concern, i.e. we give. Okay, and just finally, is love for God's people evident in my life? Let's look at that first verse, just to finish off. So, verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with joy. So, when he thinks about them, he thanks God. I wonder if when people think about us, do they thank God? I think it's a really good place for us to finish. We thank you so much, Lord, that you are our God. We thank you that you did set your love on us, and Lord, we thank you for those wonderful words. And Lord, we now pray that you'll take us home in safety, Lord, and bring us back to your house on your day, Lord, if it's your will. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.